So I want to start a new series, and this one's going to be called What's Next? What's Next? And we're going to look three different prophecies that God speaks in the Bible, because I think a lot of us, even if we've been following God a long time, we may not know all the prophecies that have been spoken. The Bible's a long book. Some of us may not venture into the Old Testament a lot because things get weird from time to time in the Old Testament if you have ventured there. But we're going to talk about three different prophecies and what they mean for us today, right? Because sometimes when we think about prophecy, we're like, man, that's really old. That's kind of been there, done that kind of things. What does that have to do with us? But we're going to look and see what prophecy actually has to do with us today, because the Bible actually applies to our life today. It's not a history book. It applies to our life today. We're called to submit ourselves to the Bible, and therefore, we probably need to know what it says. So I want us to go to Genesis 17, and if you've got your Bible or Bible app, it's the first book of the Bible. This one's easier to find as we look through it. You open your Bible, you look for the first book, it's Genesis. Genesis 17. And if you don't have your Bible or your Bible app, I encourage you, bring your Bible, get into the Bible app. Those are great resources. But if you don't, that's okay. We're going to put the words up on the screen because we believe the Word of God is alive and it's active. We should definitely dive into it. And I don't want you to miss the Word of God. It's so important. Genesis 17, verse 19. But God replied, "No, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant." And you maybe just read right through that, breeze right through that, but that's a big deal. This is Genesis 17. This is early in the story. This is early in what's going on. And God says, I'm going to provide a promise to you and Sarah that I'm going to provide you a son. I'm going to tell you exactly what to name him. And then on top of that, it's going to be an everlasting covenant. And covenant's a word we don't use in our terminology. I don't know if you are driving through like Chick-fil-A and you've decided you have a covenant with Chick-fil-A that I will be here once a week. Praise God. Okay? I don't know about you, but I'm so blessed by their rewards system. If you don't know this, you should get on the app. They give you points that you can start redeeming for more Chick-fil-A. It's a wonderful system, and also reminds me I probably am eating there too often. But that's neither here nor there. But a covenant is like this binding promise. Okay, maybe is a word we can use. If you don't know what a covenant is, that's okay. It's like this binding promise. And God is saying to this couple, I'm going to give you a son. And not only on top of that, your son is going to have this everlasting promise that's going to be fulfilled through him. That's kind of a big deal. That's a lot of pressure sometimes. But God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all. You just get to kind of watch me do this. So he gives a promise to them individually, but the promise is so much bigger than them. And I think one of the temptations of life is that we tend to focus in on ourselves. I don't know if you noticed, surprisingly, in this season of life, as we just get faster and get more things to do, if you work with the general public, have you noticed they're somehow more on edge than usual? Have you noticed this? And I'm here to tell you a little secret about people who get easily offended. People who are easily offended have a very small world. People who are easily offended have a very small world because they can only see how everything affects them. And once you can only see what affects you, you can't see how it affects anyone else around you, you become increasingly easily offended. And sometimes it comes out in this season because we're so busy, we're so going, we've got so much going on. The world, before we know it, starts to shrink and we can't focus on what God's doing. We only focus on how things affect myself. But God gives a promise to them, but it says, this is so much bigger than you. I'm giving you an everlasting covenant. But I don't know if you've noticed this. Some of you may have been following Jesus a long time. Have you noticed that sometimes God will give a promise, but the payoff can take a while? Some of y'all know, I got a couple amens there. Some of y'all have not fallen asleep yet. The payoff can take a while. Sometimes God is not swift in his promises the way we think about it. We think sometimes God's real slow. We think sometimes maybe God has forgotten. Now, we would never say that out loud, but we may think it. God, you are slow in coming. The Bible even talks about this. God's not slow in coming, but your definition of time and my definition of time is different than God's. It's different than God's. And so he gives this promise in Genesis 17. But I want us to look at Genesis 18. And if you don't know where Genesis 18 is, it's just the next page over probably from Genesis 17. It's going to be easier to find. I'm trying to keep it simple because I know we got a lot going on. Genesis 18, I encourage you to go read this in its full context, but we're going to start at verse 6. What's happened is Abraham, Sarah, they're out and about. They're out at their tents, and three guys show up, and we're going to pick up the story from there. Abraham's talking to these three guys. So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, "Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread." And then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such a pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why does she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?'" Some of you need to underline this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh. No, you did laugh." And this is a detail that's so interesting. God has given a promise in Genesis 17, right? He's made this promise, "You will have a son. And by the way, you know you're going to have a son because I already told you what you need to name him. His name needs to be Isaac. And I'm going to establish an everlasting covenant with this child. Your child, Isaac, seems to be a big part of the plan that I'm going to do." But as life starts going and life starts moving and they start to age and now they're older and now Sarah's calling herself this worn-out old woman. And now the Lord moves up and shows, "Now, next year, you're going to have a son." And Sarah laughs. She says, "Not a chance. Not a chance. You don't understand. The moment for this promise to come has passed. The moment for this promise to come about has passed. I'm too old now. God could have done this earlier, but not now. Not now. See, it's passed." We start to view God's promises sometimes in our understanding of how the world works, right? We start to think about how God's promises can work inside of how the world is moving, but God doesn't obey any of that. The world submits to him. And so he comes out and says, "No, next year you're going to have a son. I'll return. You'll have a son. His name should be Isaac because we told you he's coming. And I'm going to establish this everlasting covenant through him." The first thing I think you've got to write down is old doesn't mean it's over. Old doesn't mean it's over. There we go. I got an amen. Let's go. Okay. Old doesn't mean it's over. See, Sarah, she said, "No, I know there was a promise, but I'm too old now. That can't work." Maybe some of you had God promise you something. Maybe back when you were in high school or middle school, you felt like God spoke something into your life. But now you've got kids, maybe you're married, life's passed on, and maybe you think, "Man, that used to be what God was doing, but now my season of life has changed. I don't think that's going to come to pass." Or maybe you felt like back when you were younger, you had some promises from God, but now you're retired. You're past your age, you've retired, life's moved on. The promise is old. No, it's not. The promise is not old because God's fully capable. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God asked that question to us. He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And I think sometimes we would admit while we're in church, I would never think that. I would never think that. Is the way you live your life lining up with that then? Are you still lining your life up ready to receive that God can do something new in your life? Are you still having an obedience level that God can do something new in my life today? I want to tell you guys a story. My grandfather, he's older than me. Some of you are like, I'm going to write that down too. And that checks out. My grandfather's older than me. He retired. We're all living up here in Blairsville. And one day he's just spending time with the Lord, reading the Bible, and God speaks to him and says, I want you to start a ministry at the local nursing home. And so he says, okay. Drives down to the nursing home and shows up and says, I'd like to start working with some of the guys here. Just going around, talking to them, maybe try to start a Bible study, but just if I can do that, that would be great. And God opens the door. And so he starts going around, and they start a Bible study, and they start working. And he starts going around to some of the rooms, and some of the guys tell him, I don't really got anything to say to you. I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to become a Christian. That's just not going to happen in my life. That's not who I am. He says, okay. But over the course of 11-plus years, my grandfather kept running this ministry, going over to the nursing home, working with these guys. And he saw some of the very people who said, I'll never give my life to Jesus, give their life to Jesus. You know, we talk about Luke 14 a lot. It's on the back of the shirt. Let me represent. Boom! We got some new merchandise, by the way. I guess this is the time I should have plugged it. I don't know when I was supposed to plug it. But if you want to buy merchandise, you can after the service. All the proceeds go to the building fund. It's great stuff. So check it out on your way out. But go out and compel. Luke 14. Who's going to be at the banquet table and the great feast in heaven because you did what God asked you to do? And there's going to be people at the banquet table because my grandfather one day said yes when God asked him to go to the local nursing home. I think God wants to do in and through you things so that people are at the banquet table. Are you willing to say yes when he asks, though? Because my grandfather could have said, whoa, no, that can't be right. That's got to be a bad breakfast burrito or something. I can't be hearing that right. My grandfather could have said, I've never been a pastor. I can't go to the local nursing home and start doing ministry. He could have said, I've never been to seminary. I don't know how to teach the Bible. I can't go to the local nursing home. He could have said, I'm retired. Someone younger needs to go do this Bible study and work with these people. That can't be me. Or when God asks you to do something, you can say yes. But he was only able to go say yes because he was listening. I mean, some of the people who are leading our community groups here, retired, right? I mean, Alan, are you still retired? Teresa, y'all still retired? Okay, I'll tell the businesses you're not interested in full-time employment. Okay, we'll let them know. I mean, Ron and Kathy, John and Lisa, I'm sure I'm missing some. People who lead our prayer team, Keith and Bernoise. Somehow, God has not passed them by. Still working in and through them. If you're part of one of the groups, can you say amen? God has not passed them by. Old doesn't mean it's over. He's still working in and through their life. But Sarah, man, when God says, no, now it's time for me to fulfill this promise, she laughed. Man, faith can seem funny to us, does it not? When God asks us to do something, I mean, come on, have you ever had the temptation to laugh a little bit when God asks you to do something? Because you're like, that cannot be right. That cannot be right. And we chuckle a little bit. Like, I get it, Sarah. Like, if I was in this position, I'm a little bit logical in my thinking. I would have said, I believed in that promise, but the time has passed now. But see, God's sometimes looking for us to be patient because God is not interested, and this is going to hurt some of our feelings. God's not interested in sharing his glory with us. That's not on God's agenda. God's not looking around going, how do I elevate Philip Kite? How do I make him look really good? How do I make Philip Kite get some glory here? That's not on God's agenda. God's agenda is how do I get people to encounter me so that their life can change because I'm the one hope for the world. Now, he'll work in and through us. The most crazy thing ever is he can look at you and me and say, now, I can work through you. That's nuts. Because if you know your past, you know your mistakes, and you go, no, he wants to work through me. God looks at people like Sarah and Abraham, Sarah who would laugh when God says, no, I can fulfill my promise still even at your age. Don't you worry about that. There's nothing too hard for God. She can laugh because it doesn't make sense anymore. The promise, the time has passed, but God's able to do it. Did God give you a promise a while back and you've kind of just forgotten about it? Or maybe God gave you a promise a while back and it's not turning out how you thought it would. Maybe it's a lot more difficult. It's not coming together. I want to encourage you, don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. Because there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. And we can keep the faith as long as we don't put the faith in ourselves. You can keep the faith as long as you don't put the faith in yourselves. But our temptation, I don't know if you're anything like me. The temptation is if it's not happening fast enough, then God must need our help. If it's not happening fast enough, God, you've given me talents. I've got skills. Maybe I need to jump in and help this thing get moving. Maybe that's not how you're tempted. That's how I'm tempted. But I'm here to inform you, after a couple mistakes, God does not need my help. God does not need your help. He asked Sarah, is anything too hard for God? Is there anything I'm not capable of, Sarah? Can you explain to me what I'm missing? Because I must be missing something, Sarah, if you are laughing, if you think I'm not capable of doing this. I'll tell you one of the things I was praying as we were searching for a building. Some of you may know we've been looking for a building since like day one of Vertical Church. God's blessed us with a building in Blairsville. We're moving back next year. We are praying that permits come in soon. If you're wondering where we're at, that's where we're at. We're praying for permits. Praise God that they'll come soon. But one of the things I was praying as the pastor of the church, I wanted to be back in Blairsville. That's where one of the places God has called Vertical Church. We know that's one of the places we're supposed to have a location. And I had lots of ideas of where we could be. If it basically had four walls, I'm like, we could be there. That could be where we meet. Praise God. But one of the things I started praying that Lord really laid on my heart is he said, you need to pray that wherever we open the doors is where I will bless you. Pray that. Pray, God, wherever you will bless us, put us there. And so every time a door would close, every time an opportunity would fall through, even if I thought it was the perfect place, I was praying, God, if you close a door, I know that's not where you're going to bless us. And it's changed my heart on patience. Because I may not have been the most patient person ever, and I probably am still not the most patient person. But my prayer has been, God, put us where you will bless us. And maybe that's something you need to start praying. Maybe you're really ready to be in a relationship, but you need to start praying, God, put me in the relationship that you're going to bless. Put me in the relationship you're going to bless. Or maybe you really want to change jobs or careers. Put me in the job that you are going to bless. Maybe you're looking for a house. I don't know if you've discovered the housing market up here. It's crazy. Crazier than my ex. Some of you are like, yeah, that was a joke. I've been married like 7+ years. It was a long time ago. But man, it's a nuts housing market. Will you pray, God, put me in a house that you're going to bless us? And then when doors close, trust that he's answering the prayer. Trust, because God doesn't need our help, but he does look for our obedience. And so I want us to look at Romans 9. Romans 9, we're going to look at the fulfillment of the promise, that the way the scripture explains how this all comes about, because God actually comes through on his word. Romans 9 is later there, and while you're turning there, one of the things I really love about this church is that we're multi-generational. I really love about this church that we're a multi-generational church. I know it's going to be interesting. I didn't tell them this. And Thomas, we're going to move the screen over there. Can I ask the people in the tech bunker to come out? I did not tell them we're going to do this. I'm really hoping in faith that they're going to come out when I ask. I did not tell them to do this. But if you guys from the tech bunker can come out, John, Galen, Bree, help a brother out as a pastor. I know. Yeah, I hear my wife laughing. She wants no part of this. But Thomas, if you can move the screen over there to just put a little pressure, they come out. Let's give it up for our tech team. And if you guys can just hang with me for just a moment, I want you to look one, multi-generational. We got males, we got females, multi-generational people serving, the people that you may never notice any Sunday unless something goes wrong, but they're out here serving. And God's working in and through them. And they're here every week so that people, whether they're online, here in the building, can have an experience with Jesus. So let's give it up for the tech team. Thank you. Love you guys. One of those, the blonde-headed girl, that's my wife. She is not going to be happy that I did that. But she will not kill me while it's on film. So I'm safe until this stream ends. No, I'm thankful for them. So let's look at Romans 9. Romans 9. Starts in verse 6. Well then, God has failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? No, for not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. Being descendants of Abraham, there's your cue that we're talking back to Genesis 17. Being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scriptures say, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, though Abraham had other children too. This means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. For God had promised, I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. And so this is a really weird thing. We're talking about like, well, then how do you decide who is the descendants? How is this promise fulfilled? Am I part of Abraham's line? Am I not? What is going on here? And this is kind of how Paul writes throughout Romans. It's not always the easiest to understand. If you are looking for the first book to read in the Bible, if you're newer to the Bible, I would not suggest Romans. Romans is one of the more difficult books. I would start like the book of John or somewhere in there, maybe the book of James, but probably not Romans and definitely not Leviticus. So Romans 9, if we jump down to verse 30, if you do want to go read the whole context, I encourage you to do that. Romans 9 is great. I'm joking around. It's great. Romans 9, verse 30, though, if we jump down, because Paul's trying to explain this all of how this works, that this prophecy in Genesis 17, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, has actually come to pass. Romans 9 says, what then shall we say? That the Gentiles, and when you read the Bible, when it talks about the Gentiles, that's meaning non-Israelite people, which is you and I, unless you are an Israelite, praise God. And so Gentiles is us, who did not pursue righteousness, have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. You should underline that. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of the righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they have pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling block, or stone, your verse may say. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. What that promise, what that prophecy meant in the very beginning in Genesis 17 is God is setting up this moment for people to become part of his family. Which, maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're a believer, maybe you don't believe in higher power, but the Bible is saying that there is a God above everything. And in Genesis 17, he says, I'm going to make a way for humans to be part of my family. Which, if you will just explore the hypothetical idea that there is a God, there is a higher power, that he's not like us as humans, and in the very beginning of time, he starts offering that, I'll make you part of my family. That's nuts. That's crazy. And then he fulfills it later on. He comes through on this everlasting promise that you and I can become part of his family. That's nuts. And it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of years for it to come to pass. But you and I have an opportunity to be grafted into the family tree of God. Crazy. And when I talk or preach that your life is not insignificant, I think some people write me off, but Genesis 17 says there's a promise coming that your life is not insignificant, that by the grace of God, you have an opportunity to become part of the family of God. That makes your life not insignificant. By the grace of God, your life is not insignificant. You can become part of the family of God. But what does that really mean for our life, right? What does that prophecy really mean? Okay, being part of the family of God is great. That sounds nice. It is nice. In case you're wondering, I've been part for a while. It is nice. I enjoy it. You should try it if you're not. It's great. But there's two things. You are taking notes. Here's my point, my little prompt. I know my front row people, what's up? Y'all taking some notes. There's two things that we can learn, two principles from the prophecy. If you want to get your rhyming P's or whatever it is, two principles from the prophecy. Praise God for that. There's two things. The first is when God leads, we listen. When God leads, we listen. What does Abraham do when God is leading that you're going to have a son and I'm going to establish a covenant through him? When these three guys show up, what's he looking to do? He's looking to serve them. He's looking to serve them. Did you miss that at the very beginning in Genesis 18? When these guys show up, he doesn't start going, hey, are you going to bless me? Are you going to bless me with a kid? This is that he slows down and serves. Sometimes while we're waiting for God to do something, you know what we need to be doing? Serving God. Serving God. Stop asking, God, I need you to do something before I do something. I'll only do what you're asking me to do if you go ahead and do some other things I need you to do. Abraham's taken this posture, this heart before him. Is God, I'm going to serve until you bring it about. I'm going to believe that the promise is coming, but I'm going to serve until it comes about. When you bring forth that promise, you're going to find me serving. And that's this posture that Abraham takes. And so when God leads, we listen. And in that moment, the guy, you know, the Lord's like, is Sarah around? Of course he knows Sarah's around. But he's speaking to Abraham and Sarah in this moment. I'm going to reveal that in a year, you're going to have a son. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you ready to be led? And sometimes we think God's so slow in bringing things about, but God's really looking for, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to be led? The Bible talks about how God is our shepherd. You know what shepherds do? They lead. They protect. Sometimes as sheep, though, we've got the idea that I will show the shepherd where we need to go. I can tell you that's never worked out well for the sheep. We tend to get lost. And then we're like, you know, humbly, a little bashfully, like, Lord, I may need help here. I'm down in a ditch, my legs are in the air, and it's not a good look for me. Please send help. So we've got to be able to listen when he leads. And the second thing we've got to do is when he offers, we have to obey. When he offers, we have to obey. I think sometimes God offers us these moments, these promises, these opportunities to engage with him, and sometimes we may laugh or we can obey. What God may be asking you to do may seem audacious, it may seem crazy, it may seem like it's not the right fit for you, but if God offers, we need to obey. And this is what we can learn from this prophecy that was spoken out in Genesis 17, that God's creating this way for us to become part of the family. But man, when he leads, we've got to listen, and when he offers, we've got to obey. I was talking to Pastor Greg, and I'm going to doubt nobody here knows Pastor Greg, but he's this new mentor in my life, and I'm very thankful for the relationship that I've had with him. He's ahead of me in the faith, and he takes the time for me to ask questions and just speak into my life, and it's just been it's a true blessing to speak to him. And we were just kind of talking this past week, and it was very refreshing to my soul. We were talking about just what do we see God doing for next year and things like that, and he's really talking about how God still has this ability to lead. Do we have the ability to listen? God still has the ability to lead. Do we have the ability to listen? And if you're newer to Vertical, we just have this belief that every person who follows Jesus Christ is a leader. We have this belief that every person who follows Jesus Christ is a leader. And what we define a leader as is someone who has an ability to influence the world around them. And we believe that because of Holy Spirit that's put inside of you, that you have an ability to influence at least one person. And if you can influence at least one person, you're a leader. And as we talked about that, Pastor Greer was talking about God still wants to work through people, but I don't know if we're listening. If you're a husband or mother, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're a leader. You have influence over your children. If you're working in a place of work environment, the people you encounter, you are a leader. You have influence. Whether you're middle school, high school, college, you are a leader. God's not waiting on you to get older to work in and through you. Wrong church if that's something you want to believe. If you're retired and you're getting older and you think maybe some of the promises are done, God still is fully able to work in and through you. Wrong church if you want to believe that. The question is, are we going to listen? And I know we're at church and everyone's saying, of course I'm listening. Are we? Are we? Like, is the time we're spending with Jesus communicating we want to listen? We want to obey. Or is especially in this moment in December and as life speeds up, is what we're really telling God, I'll listen later. I'll listen later. One of the things we do at Vertical Church that I know is difficult to understand sometimes is if you even came to our office and you looked at it, we've got a big calendar up of all the events and the things we've got going on. There's going to be 1 month where it seems barren, and it's December. And it's almost like the complete opposite of what typical ministry, typical church looks like. And you should know my heart if you've been here a while. I'm not here to bash any church. Every church doesn't need to be like Vertical, and every church, you know, Vertical doesn't need to be like every church. We're just one small part of the body of Christ. But I truly believe God's called us at this church to not bury people with things to do in December. Because what we need to do to end this year as we head into next year is, can we listen? Can we listen? Because what you need more than some program, some event, is you need, as a husband or a wife or a father or a mother, as a leader or as a friend, what you need as you head into next year is time to listen. I believe God will speak in into your life this month if you will listen. I believe God will give you wisdom and revelation as you head into next year if you will listen. I believe what God's doing in Genesis 17 and being revealed in Romans 9, and this ability to speak into people's lives and says, this is the course, this is the promise, this is where I'm leading. God's fully capable of doing that this month. Will we listen? And that may mean we need to cut some things out. That may mean we now have to say the nasty word of no. Because what we need to say yes to is the things God's wanting to say to us. The yes to the things God's leading to us, because we are leaders. But we will never influence other people well if we're not listening to our leader. And as you head into next year, you will not influence people well if you have not been listening to our leader, Jesus Christ. And so I want to challenge you. What are you going to do this month to make space for Jesus to lead you? And it's not overly complicated. It's not difficult. You've heard all this before you've been in church. The two things you need to do is you need to be reading the Word of God every day. And you need to be praying every day. That's it. It's not rocket science. It's not difficult. But it may mean we have to say no to some things to say yes to what Jesus wants to do in and through us. And I believe, without a shadow of doubt, God wants to speak to you and lead you this coming year. I believe God's got big things planned for 2023. I don't believe God's looking to take off 2023. I believe God wants to work in and through us, but he's going to look for who's willing to listen to be led. And so I want to encourage you as leaders. I believe you are. Will you listen this coming month as we get ready for 2023? Will you listen and say, Jesus, I want to be led. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to be ready to receive and believe that this month you're going to speak to me at some point. And I'm going to take the posture to listen. You know who's really thankful that my grandfather was willing to listen that one day? He was just in prayer, wasn't necessarily looking to start a ministry at a nursing home. The people who gave their life to Jesus when he finally showed up and said yes. I wonder who's going to be really thankful in 2023 that you were willing to listen in December? I wonder who next year who's going to be really thankful that you were willing to listen this month because of what God's going to do in and through you next month or next year. Or maybe 2 years from now, I don't know. But you're a leader. And for us to be a leader, we've got to listen. And it may mean we have to say no to a couple things. So the worship team wants to come back up. We're going to close out. And here at Vertical, we close out with one song, and it may seem a little traditional, but the reason we do it is because there's a chance that as humans, we may hear God leading us, and then we leave, and we go to lunch, and we start joking around, and football comes on, and we kind of forget and move on. But this is a moment as we start to worship and pray and seek, and what is God leading you to do? Is there some kind of commitment you need to make? Is there some kind of change you go, I already need to make this change. I know God's asked me to remove this, to do this differently, and this is your moment to make a commitment before God. It's not later on. It's not next week. Your time to make a commitment before God is right now. Are you going to make any changes to be someone who listens? Because God wants to lead us. Are we willing to listen as he leads us? And so, Jesus, I pray that you help us. I pray that you guide us, you speak to us. Holy Spirit, won't you tell us what the Father's saying right now? Give us ears to hear, a heart to obey. Help us to listen as you lead. Help us to obey as you offer. I thank you that we serve a God who can see things that we can't even see. I thank you that you're willing to work in and through us when we submit to you. And maybe today's a day where you know you need to give your life to Jesus, that you're not part of the family yet, but the beautiful thing that's happened in your life is you become aware. God's offering for you to become part of the family today. The process is not overly complicated. You've got to be willing to repent of your sin to say, I have sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. Please forgive me, Jesus, and come and lead me. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for your grace that even after we pray that, even after we say that, we may not get everything right. Thank you for your grace as you lead us. And Holy Spirit, help us to be people who listen. We can't do it in our own strength. It's not by works. Works will never make us part of the family of God on our own. Help us to have faith that you are working, you are who you say you are. And let us not put faith in ourselves as we head into next year. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.